بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله, we've reached the fourth bab in Kitab al-Riqaq, the book of heart-softening narrations from Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And the title of this chapter is Bab Fil Amali wa Tuli, the chapter on hopes and lengthening those hopes. So this is one of the concepts that we hear a lot about in the early Islamic tradition, the notion of Tulul Amal, or having long hopes for the future. And there's a positive aspect to that, and there's a negative aspect to that. In the Islamic tradition, in works like these, when they talk about tulul amal or lengthened hopes, it's presented as a negative, because it's basically the opposite of preparing for meeting Allah Ta'ala. It is the opposite of actually striving and realizing that this dunya is short and that our time here is limited. There are positive aspects to it as well, as we'll see. So we'll begin with the way that Imam al-Bukhari presents this chapter. The full title is Bab fil amali wa tuli wa qawli Allahi ta'ala faman zuhziha 'anil nari wa udkhila al-jannata faqad faz wa ma al-hayatu ad-dunya illa mata'ul ghurur. He mentions the chapter on lengthy hopes and the statement of Allah, whoever is spared from the hellfire and is admitted into paradise will certainly triumph, whereas the life of this world is nothing but the delusion of enjoyment. So the operative phrase here is the life of this world is nothing but mata'ul ghurur. It is the enjoyment of deception, of delusion. And in one of the anomalous recitations, al-qira'at al-shadha, it is read as وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغَرُورِ. And here غَرُور refers to shaytan. It is nothing but the enjoyment of shaytan, meaning he whispers to the person to have them cling to this life. But that, and that meaning is correct. He continues the title of the chapter by saying وَقَوْلِهِ, the bab on this and the words of Allah Ta'ala, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِيهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. In Surah Al-Hijr, Allah Ta'ala says, leave them to eat and to enjoy themselves and be diverted by false hope, for they will soon know. So here you could frame amal, the negative amal is the false hope, or it's the lengthened hope that causes one to immerse themselves in the enjoyment of the dunya to the point that they are distracted from their purpose, distracted from the reality that this life is short, and they are pulled away from treading the path of the akhirah. He continues the title of the chapter, it's a very long one. وَقَالَ عَلِيِّ إِبْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ ارْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبِرًا وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلًا وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ بِلَا وَلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. He says, he refers to the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who says that the dunya is mudbira. What does mudbira mean? It's basically turning away, it's going away. And then he says the akhirah is muqbila, it's heading towards you. It presents itself, and both of them, the dunya and the akhirah, have their people, their children. So he says, be of the children of the hereafter, and do not be of the children of the lower world. Today there are deeds without reckoning, and tomorrow there is reckoning without deeds. So if you think about this statement of Imam Ali, you can almost imagine it. You can visualize it as a person who's in a car, and let's say they're a passenger in the car. They're not driving. They're not behind the driver's seat, the wheel. They're headed in a direction, and as they look in the mirror, they can see the direction behind them getting further and further away. So let's say they started here in this city, and they're driving away from it. They're going to another town, and as they look in the mirror, they see the town they came from getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So in that sense, it's mutbira, it's going away, it's getting smaller. Meanwhile, their destination is getting closer and closer. Likewise, we are in the dunya also traveling. And we referred to that yesterday in the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, be in the world as though you're a traveler or a stranger. So the world is slipping from our hands every moment. We're getting further and further away from the dunya and closer to the next realm of existence, the akhirah. And that statement of Imam Ali is basically expressing this reality. And he says that today, in the dunya, there are deeds with no hisab. Meaning this is the world of planting the seeds for the hereafter. There's actions without reckoning. And tomorrow there's reckoning without actions, without deeds. And this is how Imam al-Bukhari starts this chapter. بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ بِمُبَاعِدِهِ. And then he offers a bit of commentary about this statement also in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this phrase of بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ. And this is a reference to Bani Israel and those who wish to stay alive 1,000 years or longer. And even if, Allah says, they were to stay alive for 1,000 years or longer, that would not save them from the punishment of the fire. So ultimately there's reckoning. So he mentions in this chapter two hadith. Both of them have basically the same meaning. He says, حَدَّثَنَا صَدَقَ إِبْنُ الْفَضْلِ أخبرنا يحيى بن سعيد عن سفيان قال حدثني أبي عن منذر عن ربيع بن خثيم عن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال خط النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطا مربعا وخط خطا في الوسط خارجا منه وخط خططا صغارا إلى هذا الذي في الوسط من جانبه الذي في الوسط وقال هذا الإنسان وهذا أجله محيط به أو قد أحاط به وهذا الذي هو خارج أمله وهذه الخطط الصغار الأعراض فإن أخطأه هذا نهشه هذا وإن أخطأه هذا نهشه هذا. So this hadith comes from Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, and he says, and this is one of the examples of the ways the Prophet ﷺ would educate the ummah. So one of the ways he would teach is by using visual guides. And this is a teaching style, a teaching methodology for children and adults, that you use drawings, you use visualizations. And it says here that the Prophet ﷺ drew a square. And this is, when we say draw here, it means in the ground. He traced it in the ground, in the sand. He drew a square, and I wish I had a board, I'd draw it out for you. He drew a square, and then drew a line in the middle of it, and let it extend outside of the square. And then he drew several small lines attached to that central line, and said, this is the human being, and this square is the lease of life, encircling him from all sides, or it has encircled him. And this line, which is outside of the square, is his amal, his hope. And these small lines are the calamities and troubles that may befall him. And if one misses him, another will snap or overtake him. And if the other misses him, a third will snap or overtake him. So it's kind of difficult to visualize this just from the words. When you go into the commentaries of the hadith, you find the ulama presenting 4 or 5 different visual representations of what this sounds like. And there's 4 or 5 of them that they put in the books, but the soundest one is the most literal of the reading of the hadith. So you could think of it as a square, like this, and then you have a line going into the middle and it extends out of that square, and then on that line, below it are multiple lines descending. So that's the visual of what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. So visualizing that, he says that this is the human being, and the square is his lease of life, basically how long he's going to be in this world. It encircles him from all sides. And the line outside is his hope, and the small lines are the calamities and troubles that may befall him. The idea here is that you have a certain amount of time in this dunya, and you also have certain aspirations. You have certain goals, certain things you want to do in this world. And as you try to apply yourself and achieve these goals, something may happen where you leave this world. You die, and you're going to leave certain things unfulfilled. So the idea is that you have to realize that you're not going to be here forever. Like, that's the central message. And therefore, you cannot procrastinate in al-isti'dad li-yawm al-mi'ad, preparing for the day of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we said that this qul al-amal or amal has a positive aspect and a negative aspect. And the positive aspect is that it's human nature that we extend our hope for tomorrow and the week after and a month after and a year after. We do forward planning. We do things now that we're not going to complete, and we only do them because we look forward to continuing them in the future until they meet full fruition. That is human nature. And if we didn't have that, we would not have civilization. We would not have societies, because think about anything in society that serves the needs of the people. It cannot be built in one day. It takes planning. It takes expertise. It takes effort that goes into months and years of planning. And in so much as we have to build civilization, and one of our purposes on this earth is isti'mar, which is basically shepherding the world and building up the world, then we do plan for tomorrow. We do plan for things that may not unfold for years. That's human nature, and it's not blameworthy in and of itself. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he says that طول الأمل, or lengthened hopes, is blameworthy for everyone except the ulama. He says, because if the ulama didn't have long hopes, they wouldn't write any books. They would not compile these massive compilations of ilm. And of course, it extends to others in the ulama. Anyone who's doing something that's worthwhile, that's contributing to civilization and people, obviously it takes planning, and that is not negative. The negative tulul amal is relying on the long hopes and not preparing for the hereafter. Relying on the long hopes that, oh, I have tomorrow, or I'll be a better Muslim once I retire, you know. I'm in the dunya, I'm going to be busy in this, I'll put off preparing for meeting Allah Ta'ala until after I retire, then I'll be a masjid uncle, you know. I'll start coming to the masjid, I'll start doing things, I'll be frequent. But until then, I'm just going to be drowning in dunya and in distractions and amassing wealth for myself and my family. That's negative. You can do, you know, we say you can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. You can prepare for your hereafter while also tending to your dunya, as long as you put things in proper perspective and you have a balance. So this is the famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used imagery to teach us a moral lesson. And we'll go to the second hadith, which is reiterating this first one. The second hadith, Imam al-Bukhari says, حَدَّثَنَا مُسْلِمْ حَدَّثَنَا هَمَّامْ عَنْ إِسْحَاقِ إِبْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ أَبِي طَلْحَى عَنْ أَنَسٍ قَالَ خَطَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خُطُوطًا فَقَالَ هَذَا الْأَمَلُ وَهَذَا أَجَلُ فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكَ إِذْ جَاءَهُ الْخَطُّ الْأَقْرَبُ. This is coming from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. And he says, using the same basic wording, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a line, and he drew several lines, and then he said that this is the hope of the person, and this is his lifespan, how much time he has. And as he is engaged in that, then death comes to him. The closest line comes to him, meaning his death. So the idea is, we have to be aware that the dunya is a short period of time we have here. You know, they have this notion in anthropology, societies or peoples, they call high time preference people and low time preference. This is referring to certain cultural or sociological phenomena where certain peoples in the world are high time preference, meaning they feel like they have lots of time. So their idea of making use of time is just relaxing, right? They're the ones you just see sitting on the side of the road, not doing anything, you know? They're the ones who are sitting in the maqahi, you know, just relaxing and drinking. They have all the time in the world. There's no sense of urgency in anything at all. These people are high time preference. Low time preference people recognize there needs to be prior planning, and they plan for tomorrow. And as Muslims, we come from all parts of the world. We come from places where people tend to be high time preference and places where people are low time preference. What do you think America is? Do you think it's a high time preference culture, more or less, or low time preference?
Low time.
It's low time preference, right? You do have people sitting in bars and in Starbucks and all of that. But when you go to Starbucks, for instance, what do you see most people doing in the morning? They're working. They're sitting there with their coffee, for sure, but they have the laptop open, they have this and that open, they're doing work while they're drinking coffee, right? If you go to other parts of the world and you go to the cafe, what are they doing? They're watching a football game. That's it. So you have that here too. It's not to say that, oh, America's all low time preference and everybody else is high time preference. But as Muslims, no matter where you're from, you have to be low time preference in matters of hereafter, where, you know, don't say, oh, I have time to repent. I have time to learn my deen later. I have time to become righteous later. But as for now, I'm just going to enjoy myself. That's not the attitude of the Muslim. So you want to have the proper amal, where you plan for tomorrow and next month and next year in your life in worldly matters, contributing to the flourishing of civilization. But in matters of your personal life, your relationship with Allah, you have to be aware that the time is near. Time is near. And ironically, people who are nearing the end of their life tend to come to this realization. And those who are younger tend to be unaware of this. Because when you're young, I feel old even saying this, but you know, when you get to your 40s, your mid-40s, you say things that your parents would say, and you realize, oh my gosh, I sound like an old man. But when you get older, you realize, there isn't a lot of time. But when you're in your teens and 20s, you think, oh, I'm invincible. I can do whatever. I'll bounce back. And I have plenty of time. And then when you get into your 40s and 50s, you realize, if I had low time preference in my younger years and really applied myself and built myself up, dinan wa dunya, right? In worldly and afterworldly matters, you would be far better off later in life because you would have built solid foundations. So the idea that is conveyed to us in this hadith and others is that we have to have this perspective of realizing that life is short. And we all know life is short, but we don't always live life like it's short. How do we live life like it's short? We prioritize preparing for the hereafter. And that doesn't mean we can't engage in matters of dunya that we need to engage in. What it means is we shift the intention when we do that for proper purposes that are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, while realizing that those things are just asbab. They're just means for giving us the stability and means of focusing on the hereafter. And if you have that shift of intention, it will make virtually everything you do a means of preparing for the hereafter. So even as you go to work Monday morning, you're going into the dunya world, the workaday world, as they say. But your intention is so that you can provide for yourself and your family, so that you can be a benefit to others, so that you can be free of needing others, and free up your time and your heart from looking at what others have, so you can focus on your ibadah. And those things then become ibadah in themselves. And as long as you orient those actions toward the hereafter with the niyyah, you have, inshallah, escaped the tulul amal of just engaging in whatever, thinking that you have time and you'll get better tomorrow. The time for getting better, the time for trying to be a good Muslim is not tomorrow. It was yesterday. It was last week. It was way in the past. So if a person has been in a state of ghafla from that, well, now is the time to say, I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm not going to procrastinate and think that I have time in the future to get better. Do it now. And if you're pursuing your life goals while you are preparing for the hereafter and having those intentions, and you don't meet the goals, meaning you catch one of those lines in the diagram, well, alhamdulillah, you're going to die anyway. But as you were doing it, and as you died with good intentions, you died in that state of preparing for the hereafter. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.